Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Ayan Bior in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Monday, December 19th, 2016. The head of JMEC says if the surge in violence didn't happen in July, there'd be more progress today on the implementation of the peace deal.
Sadly, following the fighting and subsequent turmoil, many of these achievements are barbarous, and we were almost thrown back to square one. The hopes of many ordinary South Sudanese were dashed.
And President Obama says he feels some responsibility for what's happening in South Sudan.
I feel responsible for murder and slaughter that's taken place in South Sudan that's not being reported on, partly because there's not as much social media being generated from there.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The head of the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission says the fighting that flared up in July stalled the implementation of the peace deal. Festus Mahai says before fighting broke out in Juba, he had hoped South Sudan would have an amended transitional constitution and Juba would be demilitarized by now. Tito Justin reports for VOA from Juba.
JMEC Chairman Festus Mahai delivered a report over the weekend to the organization's board members, which includes Intergovernmental Authority on Development member states, the UN, the US, and the European Union, among others. Mahai said, quote, "We can all agree we have not fulfilled our obligations to the agreement or to the long-suffering people of this country," and, quote, "even though it appeared South Sudan was on the road to recovery."
Sadly, following the fighting and subsequent turmoil, many of these achievements are barbarous, and we were almost thrown back to square one. We found ourselves having to reconstitute many of the agreement institutions in the face of diminished inclusion and various new factions, some opposed to or deliberately undermining the peace efforts. The hopes of many ordinary South Sudanese were dashed.
He says any modest achievements made toward implementing the peace deal have been outweighed by the deadly fighting in July.
The sentiment expressed in the communique of the most recent IGAD Heads of State Summit held in Addis Ababa on the 9th of December this year. They have expressed their concern and dismay that the implementation of the agreement has been so badly disrupted, but remain of the firm conviction that the agreement is the only viable means through which to deliver peace.
Mahai is urging the transitional government of national unity to give peace monitors and humanitarian workers access to all parts of the country and to immediately condemn acts of discrimination, hostility, and hatred that could incite more violence in the country. South Sudan Cabinet Affairs Minister Martin Elia Lumuro says the transitional government is well aware of the challenges it faces in trying to restore peace in the country.
The Tigon received many missions from IGAD, from AU, the UN, in relation to the challenges facing South Sudan since the eruption of the internal conflict on the 15th of December 2013 and subsequently on the 8th of July 2016. In addition to these missions, Tigon ministers are overwhelmed with meetings from the various embassies and missions in Juba, again seeking information on the dynamic political and security situation in South Sudan. The President has directed the ministers of Tigon to continue interacting because these engagements are positive to our country.
Mahai praised the President Salva Kiir's announcement of a national dialogue to address the country's challenges, including intercommunal grievances that have accumulated over decades of war.
I applaud the President's leadership in this matter, and we in JMEC will support the national dialogue in any way we can. The President has called for peace, unity, forgiveness and dialogue, and this is undoubtedly a very good starting point for the new year.
Mahai says in his end-of-year speech last week, Mr. Kiir says the critical opportunity to address the concerns and grievances of the South Sudanese people. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Juba.
In an end-of-the-year news conference at the White House on Friday, U.S. President Barack Obama says he feels personal responsibility for the atrocities taking place in Syria, but that it is not in the best interest of the United States to intervene militarily to stop the violence. In his answer on Aleppo, the president also said he feels responsible for the deadly violence that is occurring in South Sudan.
I always feel responsible. I felt responsible when kids were being shot by snipers. I felt responsible when millions of people had been displaced. I feel responsible for murder and slaughter that's taken place in South Sudan that's not being reported on, partly because there's not as much social media being generated from there.
The president's response on Aleppo comes as diplomats try to sustain a fragile ceasefire in the Syrian city, where some 25,000 people remain trapped by forces loyal to President Bashar al-Assad, and where the terrorist group ISIS has claimed territory. In his response to the same question on Aleppo, President Obama said he worries about other places where violence continues unabated.
There are places around the world where horrible things are happening. And because of my office, because I'm President of the United States, I feel responsible. I ask myself every single day, is there something I could do that would save lives and make a difference and spare some child who doesn't deserve to suffer? So that's a starting point. There's not a moment during the course of this presidency where I haven't felt some responsibility.
The day before Mr. Obama's news conference, the Washington Post ran an opinion piece in which President Obama was blamed for Aleppo's fall. A fuel tanker owned by King Petrol Company crashed into shops and houses in Sharakat outside Juba about 7:30 last night, killing at least five people. Police spokesman Daniel Justin says the truck driver, who was traveling from Nyumilay, was speeding and lost control. He says the truck first hit a boda-boda before swerving off the main road and ran over a number of people in Sharakat.
So far, we have managed to identify five people, but still there are some people under the crash. And now our people from disaster management are coming.
Among the dead is one Eritrean citizen and an eight-month-old baby, according to eyewitness Michael Kahure, manager of Kenya Camp 2's lodge, who saw the tanker plow into several shops.
The whole plot consists of six shops and 34 tenant houses, and they were under store. They all got destroyed, plus the properties inside. It is difficult to estimate right now, but it's just a matter of more than $10,000. Yes, construction itself, it was about $17,000 and above, because afterward you have already renovated and added some more houses. But as now, the belongings of the tenants.
Kahura says he was one of many shop owners who lost all of his property, including his documents and identity cards, in the fire. He says the fire was so severe, he could not retrieve his important belongings from the shop. Another senior government official in President Salva Kiir's cabinet has resigned. Nasike Teko Allen Lachul left her job as Deputy Minister of Labor in the Transitional Government of National Unity last week. Nasike says she quit because of what she called the discrimination and genocide taking place in South Sudan. She tells South Sudan in Focus host John Tanza she can no longer serve a government that kills its own people.
I actually quitted the government because of the hated speech and the way the system is carrying its activity, the genocide that is happening in Juba, discrimination and all this, and great violation against the people, that raping happening and other things.
You were a senior government official. Someone will think you should address these issues with President Kiir rather than quitting.
Yeah, that was my hope when I actually accepted the appointment. I thought that I would make a change within, But I found out that the whole problem, the unwillingness of the government to implement the peace that would have actually answered the calls and the desire of the people of South Sudan, that's what made me to quit.
What is your next move?
Yeah, I've already declared it very clearly. I said I'm actually paying my allegiance to the SPLIO under the leadership of Dr. Riek Machar, who was the former vice president, and to me, still the first vice president.
What are you intending to do? Because people from Kapoita are looking up to you for solutions to their problems. How are you going to help the people of Kapoita by joining the SPLM in opposition?
Yeah, I'll be helping them through mobilizing them. And I'll also want to ensure that the people of Kapoita should raise up very clearly and do what's necessary to ensure that the Juba regime is out.
What do you mean when you say Juba regime is out?
There should be a change in the current system. The current Juba regime led by Salva Kiir should be out from the system. I mean, should not be led by Salva Kiir again.
You told me that one of the reasons why you left the government is because of mistreatment and hate speech. Could you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, the mistreatment I'm talking of, villages in Greater Equatoria and other regions in Northern Barbados have been burnt and people have been killed simply because they are not from Dinka. And that itself is not good. It's not because they have committed any crime, but simply because they are not from this group. And the militias, which are actually under Paul Malong, are carrying those activities in Greater Equatoria and other parts of Northern Barbados.
And who is Paul Malong? I mean, can you explain to us who he is?
Paul Malong is the current head of the army.
And what is he doing exactly?
I blame him because he's the head of the army. He shouldn't allow any militia within the country. And since these militia are there, it means he is with them. And in so doing, whatever they carry, make him accountable for whatever those militias are carrying in Greater Equatoria.
You're coming from Juba. Can you bring us up to speed about how life is in Juba before you resign from your position as the Deputy Minister for Labour?
Life in Juba is very hard. People are living in fear. The rate of theft is increasing simply because they have been carried by these militias. People are threatened, people are killed every day. And
what are the members of parliament doing? Because in a situation like that, the members of parliament are supposed to stand up and address the situation.
Yes, it's true. The members of parliament are supposed to talk. But what will you talk in a system like this, where freedom of expression is not allowed? Media are closed from time to time simply because they say the truth. And who are you as a member of parliament who can speak? They're even afraid of their life. They're part of the citizens who are staying in fear in Juba.
What is the end result? For how long will people stay in the state of fear?
That's what I'm saying. It's only when people think the way I think that it's time we say no to such issues that happening, to any type of system like that. We have to say no, and we have to work towards change and make a better regime that answers the will of the people.
But someone from Juba will say you cannot bring change from outside. You cannot bring change when you leave your country. When you escape, you cannot bring change.
I'm not escaping because I'm within Juba. I'm within South Sudan. I'm just outside of Juba, but within South Sudan.
And so you were saying that you now joined the SPLM in opposition in order to bring change in the country. What kind of change are you going to bring to Juba?
If possible, if it's by peace, it will be. But if not, then we'll have to use force.
What kind of force are you going to use?
That's what has to remain for us.
But you say if you're not going to bring change peacefully, you'll bring change by using force. What kind of force?
Yeah, we can. You are aware how many, types of changes, how it can be brought. We can bring it through dialogue, but we cannot dialogue with a person who's already committing genocide in South Sudan.
Madam, genocide is a strong word. Is there genocide happening in South Sudan as we speak with you right now?
What you talk of is over 1,000 in different areas in South Sudan being burned. What do you call that?
These 1,000 villages that are burned down, can you tell us which locations exactly and which day that happened?
Villages were burned and people ran. That's why many people ran to Uganda, Kenya, and Khartoum.
That's Nasike Teko Alan Latul, former Deputy Minister of Labor in the transitional government of national unity. Nasike resigned last week and says she joined the SPLM-IO to bring change to South Sudan. She was speaking to John Tanza from an undisclosed location in South Sudan. You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. The Red Cross in Uganda says South Sudanese continue to flee the country by the thousands each day. We'll have more on that story after this.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what would you do if you set up a meeting and the other person came in late?
The person will apologize for coming late, but I'll just allow the person to come in and continue the meeting.
So I prefer for that person to be outside because he may come and interrupt our meeting. So maybe we have already explained something briefly about the whole meeting and he doesn't know about it. So if I allow him to come in, maybe he will stop by asking a lot of questions, which we have already talked about.
Well, I'll be patient with the person to try to know why the person came in late and see if the reason is genuine. If the reason is not genuine, I will express my reservation over it.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Despite President Salva Kiir's call for a national dialogue to address the root causes of the ongoing conflict in the country, thousands of South Sudanese refugees continue to stream into Uganda each day. The Uganda Red Cross, which manages the main refugee reception center at the Bidibidi refugee settlement in Uganda's Yumbe district, says there are more than 250,000 refugees at the camp, nearly twice the amount initially planned for the settlement. Simon Peter Apiku has the story for VOA from the Ugandan capital, Kampala.
The Uganda Red Cross manages the center where new arrivals are received, processed, and sent to different locations within the Bidibidi settlement. Didis Ruhombe is the Red Cross operations manager in Yumbe district. He says thousands of South Sudanese continue arriving each day, and they say tens of thousands more are on their way to Uganda, most of them escaping escalating violence in the Equatorial region.
Currently, there are 2,000 refugees coming in every day. It's now constant at 2,000 a day. And our total population, refugee population in Bidibidi is now at 260,000 persons in Bidibidi settlement, which is a big, big number.
After walking for days, often without food or medical care, Ruhombe says the refugees arrive in appalling physical and psychological condition.
They arrive in a state of trauma, a state of tiredness, a state some have swollen feet. They walk long distances. Some come wounded, mostly the men.
Ruhombe says the refugees take huge risks as they escape the fighting, including dodging bullets from gunmen trying to pursue them. He cites a recent case in which a South Sudanese man died just hours after arriving at the reception center.
In the morning, we found someone dead, but they say this person was sick along the way. As he reached here, we found him dead the following day. But when we made some few investigations and inquiries, they say this man really, even reaching here was a blessing.
The refugees walk long distances to the Ugandan border. As a result, says Ruhombe, they often leave their personal belongings behind. He says most of the refugees arrive barefoot and some come with only the clothes on their back.
They come with basic things. Basic, you know, a jerry can or a small bottle that they can put and collect water and walk with, and a few clothes, you know, just a cover for to sleep in the night.
Refugees say when gunmen attack them as they flee their country, children often run in different directions, getting separated from their parents. Ruhombe says the Red Cross has documented hundreds of such cases.
Children come separately, mothers come separately, and when they come, some go to Reno camp, others go to Palolinya. We receive some in Bidibidi. our mandate and our key role is to make sure that we identify those unaccompanied children and reunite them with their families.
After arriving at the reception center, the Red Cross officials give the refugees information about their new surroundings and educate them about their rights as refugees and the service that they can expect. The refugees also learn about proper hygiene and sanitation and are told that sexual violence will not be tolerated. They are then taken to their designated plots of land to begin a new life. For VOA News, I'm Simon Peter Apiku in Yumbe District, Uganda.
As people all over the world prepare for Christmas and New Year festivities, hundreds of people continue to flee their homes in Imatang State and other parts of the Greater Equatoria region because of continued fighting there. As Dimo Silva Arella reports for VOA from Torit, many South Sudanese say they have nothing to celebrate this Christmas because they live in fear.
With just a few days to go before Christmas, hundreds of Imatang State residents continue to arrive in Torit, many on their way to Kenya, many come carrying small children and a few belongings, such as bedding, for the long journey ahead. Most of those fleeing say they are more concerned about how to get out of the country before Christmas rather than preparing for the festive season. Jacqueline Achi is a mother of four who fled violence in the Chukudum area of Namurunyang Estate in July. Speaking in Arabic, Achi says now that she has been reunited with her children, who is scattered in different directions when fighting broke out, says her only priority now is finding a safe place to stay, not celebrating Christmas.
These children I'm taking, I collected them all from the bush, and now I want to take them. And if I arrive there safely, maybe the people there will provide something for me and my children. We'll be able to get health care, and after Christmas, they may go to school.
Joyce Mandy, a mother of seven, says she fled insecurity in Lenya County of the newly created Ye River Estate. Speaking in Arabic, she says she and her children are headed to Kakuma refugee camp in Kenya.
Our place is completely devastated. Everybody left Lenya. That is why I'm here with my children going to Kakuma. Maybe I will find another better life there.
Grace Kako, a mother of five, hails from the former Central Equatoria region. Speaking in Arabic, Kako says she is tired of running from one place to another every time violence breaks out.
The insecurity and running with children is what is making me to flee, because those who left ahead of us have changed their life in Kakuma. Also, we want to do the same. We are tired running with children. No proper food and no money to buy something for them.
Peter Lokonyen, who is also fleeing South Sudan with his children, says he doesn't believe this Christmas will be celebrated in peace.
When a Christmas time comes, we know we can just repair or whatever. We're ready to go, you know. We prepare everything in order to enjoy Christmas. But the reason is that we know the Christmas is coming. Then later on, before reaching the Christmas, something will be reached. Yeah, like, you know, we did. Maybe like fighting now in South Sudan. We don't know the time when it will come. Even now, we didn't even fight. We are not feeling right. Because to enjoy, to be ready, to be happy, comfortable, to enjoy Christmas, it is good to getting you, being ready, you are comfortable. That's why you can just feel ready, get ready for reparation.
Ocheng Anthony, a teacher in Imatang State, says he does not plan to leave South Sudan, but admits he won't be able to celebrate this Christmas.
Now people actually are worried. So about the anger, about the war, about the price and other thing, is this time. But those days a little bit of fair. So though the payment was a little bit low, but the price of commodity in the market was a little bit fair, and people have no worry of much about war and worried of anger and other thing. So the difference should be now will be great.
Ocheng says the government has not paid his salary for the past 3 months, so he cannot afford to decorate his house for the festive season.
All the civil servants at the moment, so we stay in there for 3 months. So there's no salary, just released. And indeed, we also approach the Christmas season. And we know during Christmas season, there's a lot of demand. So children need to eat good foods. So women need their hair, need their clothes to be nice. Even for us, the big people also, we are supposed to appear very nice. So what you're supposed to drink, what you're supposed to eat, also should be a little bit different from different other days. But now, what I know, since we have no money, it will be a great challenge for us, all the civil servants.
South Sudan's petroleum minister said last week that the government plans to increase oil production in the new year, which should help offset the nation's debt and allow the government to pay back wages of civil servants. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Torit.
And here's a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan and Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, Ayan. The Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission chief says the fighting that flared up in July has stalled implementation of the peace deal. Festus Mohai says before the recent fighting broke out in Juba, he had hoped that South Sudan would have a transitional constitution in place by now and Juba would be demilitarized. But JMEC Chairman Festus Mohai told the organization's board members, including IGAD countries, the UN, the U.S., and the European Union, that that did not happen in part because of the surge in fighting in July. He says JMEC was thrown back to square one. JMEC is tasked with monitoring the implementation of the peace deal. Mohai is also urging the transitional government and its security forces to allow peace monitors and humanitarian workers access to all parts of the country. A King Petrol Company tanker truck crashed into shops and houses in Sharikot just outside Juba last night, killing at least 5 people. Police spokesman Daniel Justin says the truck driver was speeding and lost control before swerving off the main road and running into several people. Among the dead is one Eritrean and an 8-month-old baby, according to eyewitness Michael Kahure, manager of the Kenya Camp 2's lodge. And finally, in an end-of-year news conference from the White House on Friday, U.S. President Barack Obama said he feels personal responsibility for atrocities taking place in Syria, but that it is not in the best interest of the United States to intervene militarily to stop the violence. The president also said he feels responsible for the deadly violence occurring in South Sudan. Mr. Obama said, quote, "I always feel responsible. I felt responsible when kids were being shot by snipers. I felt responsible when millions of people were displaced. I feel responsible for murder and slaughter that's taking place in South Sudan." And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, Carol. And that's our show for this Monday. We leave you with the song Get Up with South Sudanese superstar Emmanuel Jal.
Yeah. They say all walk and no play makes me a dull boy. But you know what I say? I gotta get up. Sometimes I feel like my life just ain't mine. I'm living out of my suitcase from one place to another place. Hey, I get a chance sometimes. I make a few dollars sometimes. I'm thinking I'll just have a night in the town, having fun with my friends around. Hey, I gotta get up.
We've been listening to Emmanuel Jal with the song Get Up. I'm Ayan Bior in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.